today I'm going to tell you about the Evel Knievel of the Prohibition period, Daredevil Al Fawcett. Are you familiar with South Falls at Silver Falls State Park? It's 177 feet high. This crazy guy went over it in a canoe. Yeah, he got hurt, but he survived. While he was in the hospital recovering, his partner skipped town with the proceeds. Poor guy was left flat on his back, flat broke, but at least he wasn't dead. Hi, my name is Finn J.D. John. It's Thursday, March 29th, and I'm reading a column from the archives of the weekly newspaper column I write, Offbeat Oregon History. I do this every weekday. Of course, if you're subscribed to this podcast, you already know that. If you'd like to know a little bit more about this daily podcast or about the newspaper column, stay tuned or see offbeatoregon.com. Today's column first ran in the newspapers on June 27th, 2009, under the headline, Daredevil Al Survived 177-Foot Plunge at Silver Falls State Park. Here we go. 81 years ago, on July 1st, 1928, a man rode a 12-foot canvas boat over the biggest waterfall in Silver Falls State Park and survived. And yes, he did it on purpose. If you've ever lived in Silverton, Sublimity, or Staten for any length of time, you can probably stop reading this right now because you surely already know the whole story. But for everyone else, here's a brief version. By the summer of 1928, a formerly obscure Washington logger named Daredevil Al Fawcett was making a name for himself the same way Evel Knievel would decades later, by risking his neck in spectacular ways. Unlike Evel, though, Daredevil Al specialized in waterfalls. He'd paddled over Snoqualmie Falls in Washington, and even Willamette Falls in Oregon City. Problem was, he was getting famous, but not rich. The solution? Al figured he needed to find a bigger, more death-defying waterfall to run. South Falls takes tiny Silver Creek over a 177-foot drop into a splash pool that looks from the top just a tiny bit larger than a child's Mr. Turtle pool. It was perfect. Of course, this was before the area became a state park. Al talked to the owner of the falls, Daniel Geisler, of Silverton. Geisler was already in business, charging people to watch him shove junk cars off the top. He was open to the plan, but with one stipulation. Al would have to own the property when he did this, so that Geisler couldn't be held liable. To that end, they drew up a contract under which Al would own Silver Falls for one day, and on that day he'd do his stunt. To make it work, Al and his partner, whose name historian Jeff Breckus of Silverton says has been lost in the mists of time, dammed up Silver Creek at the top and rigged a chute to push Al's boat out over the rocky lip. Then they rigged a cable that would guide the boat into that pint-sized splash pool so that it wouldn't end up lighting on the rocks instead. On the big day, thousands of spectators were there to watch, and soon they started getting restless. It seemed like they'd been waiting a long time. One spectator, Brian Gordon of Silverton, said he went to investigate and found Fawcett, quote, sitting in the canoe bracing himself with spirits for the ordeal ahead, for which you could not blame him. That was, of course, bootleg spirits, as Prohibition was still going strong in 1928. There was a rumor that Al wanted to back out and his unknown partner was helping him change his mind, quote, with a little help from a bottle of handcrafted gin, as Breckus puts it. Finally, Al gave the signal. The dam was opened. Some sources say the dam never worked and he had to be pushed. The water roared and Al shot out into space as spectators, quote, caught their hearts in their throats and held their breath. Breckus again. But 30 feet above water, the boat hung up on a splice in the guide cable, which snapped it to a momentary halt in midair. Then the guide ring ripped off the boat and it dropped to the water where it landed flat on its keel. Breckus compares this to a high diver doing a belly flop. The boat was supposed to knife into the water and pop back to the surface again with a soggy but triumphant Fawcett ready to jump out and shake some hands. Instead, a dry and badly injured Fawcett barely managed a feeble wave before being brought to shore and rushed to the hospital. While he was there recuperating, that partner of his, the one whose name no one remembers, skipped town with the entire $2,500 proceeds of the stunt. You've been listening to an Offbeat Oregon History Archive column. If you'd like more, you can read hundreds of columns from the last 4 years on our website, offbeatoregon.com. On the website, you can also subscribe to get these podcasts delivered direct to your smartphone every day via RSS or iTunes. And if you're into history geekery, you've got to check out the Facebook and Twitter feeds as well. You'll find links to those pages there too. All my stuff is covered under Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. For details, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. If you're ever in Corvallis and have time for a cup of something at the Beanery or some other historical Oregon watering hole, look me up. I'm at Finn at offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. Have a great day.